This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 506. I am Brian Kilby, and with me I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Diecast.
I thought you were going for Don.
No, I did Don last week. And Diecast is going to be at Toy Fair this weekend. It's going to be great.
Toy Fair on Saturday.
On Saturday. Don will be here with us streaming, however.
Yes, I have a Saturday off, so I will be here.
A rare Saturday off.
A very rare Saturday off, yes.
As always, Chris will be here.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Yes, I will.
Matt, it's his favorite day of the year.
Absolutely.
That makes me happy.
I love Toy Fair.
Yeah, me too. Rob will be here.
Yep.
Hey, John, will you be there Saturday?
At points, yes.
Okay, sweet.
I mean, let's take a quick poll. Who among us here, who is, does anyone not hold this as your favorite day of the year?
It's up there for me. It's definitely... Oh, yeah. Especially with it not having been all spoiled beforehand.
I probably I shouldn't admit it, but yeah, it's my favorite day of the year too.
Really right is. After your anniversary.
No,
Kim knows better than that.
So Toy Fair, it's this weekend, and we can hardly wait to get up Saturday morning and start our annual live stream event. We're going to be live all day starting at noon. And we'll be joined by lots of our podcasting friends to talk about all the news that comes in. And as always, Diecast will be there getting all the info and lots of photos for us. It's going to be great. It's our favorite event all year, and you won't want to miss it. And I read that. Professional.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you got like halfway through that, I was thinking, boy, that wording sounds really familiar. And then I realized you were actually reading the copy I put in
there. It's a script. I used to have to read copy all the time, and I got out of the habit of it, but I need to get back in the habit of it, because who knows? Who knows what the future holds? So you should subscribe to our RFC Insider mailing list. It'll let you know, hey, we're streaming for, like, Toy Fair, or, like, each week. We send out updates, and we have exclusive content. We shared our first exclusive RFC Insider mini-episode this week, and it was great. You can go to tfradio.net/insider or RFC Insider. They both work to subscribe. It's pretty awesome. And we are less than a month away for Jolanta. We will be at the Botlanta Transformers track. Gosh, most of us will be there. I think we're going to have like 5 or 6 panels. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be.
I hope you like hearing us talk.
Yeah. Don will have his Dononomics panel, or as I call it, Toy Collecting Econ 101. Diecast and Chris will be having a toy review panel. We are going to have a live episode of RFC. So part of this is also, it's for a lay audience, so there's going to be people there who aren't always plugged in. So one thing we did last year, and we're going to do it again this year, is we are going to recap all the toys that were announced at Toy Fair. So it's nice, a nice product preview for folks who aren't like you, who will be watching our live stream on Saturday. And please do. And, of course, also, we're going to have a Transformers trivia panel, which is going to be a lot of fun. So it's going to be great. This will be the fourth year that I've been to Jolanta. I think Diecast has been there for 2 at this point.
I actually only went to 1.
Okay, so this will be your second.
This will be my second.
And for the rest of you guys who are going, this will be your first. I always love doing this. We get to hang out with our buddy Dusty. Dusty, Rob Springer, and I will be doing a panel on the Transformers movie universe from 2007 to current. That'll be a lot of fun. Dusty's a designer for Toy Hacks, among other things. And he'll be demonstrating how he designs the stickers, which that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, Brian, what's the name of that movie panel? 10 Years of Sadness?
No, it's a little more upbeat than that.
Okay.
And our buddy Crazy Steve will be there. He is the master and ruler of the Robopocalypse. How do you say it? I can never say it. Steve, I'm sorry. He's King Macrocranius. I know how to say his. He makes these things hard. Roboplastic Apocalypse is how I always say it to myself. So, but Steve will have some awesome panels covering basically what Steve specializes in is going in to libraries and getting newspaper advertisements from like defunct retailers and existing retailers, but basically Transformers ads and like showing off the art and the prices and everything. He's the bomb. He's amazing at that stuff. So that'll be a lot of fun. And there are other panels too. So just lots of stuff going on. Jolanta is fun. And that will be March 10th, 11th, and 12th. You can learn more at Jolanta, JOELANTA.org. Okay, guys. Anybody get anything this week?
Oh, yeah.
Diecast, what did you get?
Diecast, what did you get?
I did not get anything from Taobao. The
Chinese New Year.
Chinese New Year thing is slowing it down.
So but that's why the Chinese economy dropped.
SH Figure Arts, Harley Quinn. Because she was the best part of the Suicide Squad movie. So
it's not saying much, is it?
Yeah, hashtag not my Harley.
She's very articulate.
Well, and then,
yeah. And then I also got my favorite, the Soul Chigokin Voltron, which is
the
just,
real Voltron.
He is heavy and he is awesome. He's the best Voltron I've ever had and probably ever will have. I don't think there's any Voltron that's going to come out that's going to top this.
That's what we said about MP01 and Optimus Prime, though, admittedly.
Yeah, but it took several years for that to get topped.
Yeah. And actually, my review on this is actually going up on RFC Reviews. It should be posted at the end of the show.
Well, I'm glad you're not feeling like remorse over your $300, largely metal Voltron.
No, I'm feeling excellent about it. He is so nice.
That's good, because that would be terrible if, you know, you just were not in love with, the, you know, such a big-ticket purchase.
Yes.
I will admit I'm a little disappointed by your response to it, but, you know, we can't all get what we want.
Then the other thing I got was the NES Classic Edition.
And rumors are that was, you know, discontinued, so I will never get one.
Rumors are it was discontinued?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nintendo, are you an...
Does Nintendo just hate money?
Yes.
Nintendo, stop being stupid.
I did not hear that rumor. Maybe I won't open mine.
Yes, it's a new rumor that popped up in the last couple of days.
Yeah, either production has stopped or will stop at the beginning of March. I forget which way that goes.
Mm. I'll never get one.
That absolutely makes no sense, because they can sell every unit they make for the foreseeable future, and they don't want money.
Yeah.
I can see how this does make sense. Because if they produce this item and send it to all their stores that carry their stuff and it sells out immediately, you know, they can point to that the next time they want to do some weird little niche product that the stores might otherwise not be too hot on and say, well, the last time we sent you something weird to sell, like, it went, you know, immediately. You did not have any stock sitting around.
Okay. When have retailers not wanted to sell new Nintendo hardware?
Well, I'm just like weird stuff like that, though. You know, a plug and play Nintendo.
Okay, at the beginning, they wanted to sell the Wii U.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to buy it.
Yeah. I've got to say one thing, though. Having an SNES Classic with 30 classic Nintendo games is slightly more desirable to most people than, say, if they sold PlayStation Optimus Prime or Super Famicom Optimus Prime.
Okay.
If they sold that in stores. I mean, they can't they can't say that.
I don't understand. We're going to sell. Restate.
Okay.
Are you saying transforming version of this?
Well, no. No, what I'm saying is, let's say, for example, the next niche thing they wanted to bring over was that transforming Optimus Prime, just as an example. You
well,
can't tell.
PlayStation, so they wouldn't.
I'm just using it as an example. Something along those lines. Because let's say they had the Super Famicom as Optimus Prime.
Super Famicom Boy.
Famicom Boy.
That was what I wanted the PlayStation Optimus Prime.
Yes,
I know. It should have been the counterpart to Mega Drive Megatron, and I don't know why that didn't happen.
Licensing.
Yeah. But let's say you can't compare something like that to a classic Nintendo platform and say this sold out, this will sell out. The SNES Classic is by far a more desirable product that will sell more units. You can't equate one oddball thing to another slightly oddball thing if they're still apples and oranges.
The only thing that would make
it's an NES classic, so if they wanted to sell an SNES classic or, say, a Game Boy classic with, you know, a basically an original Game Boy form with 30 Game Boy games programmed into it, you know,
that you
they
plug could, into a TV.
Yeah. They could do that. There are plenty of options within their library that they could sell something similar enough to the NES Classic that they might want to keep demand.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting in any way that Nintendo would use, you know, the successful sale of the NES Classic to be like, okay, we're going to sell you a toy now.
Never.
You know, and because, yeah, like you say, that is a completely different category of product. Right, it's not a way Nintendo would move with this. But, yeah, something like a Game Boy Classic, where you use the Game Boy itself as the controller, but it plugs into your TV. Something like that, kind of weird sounding on the surface of it, but they can point to, well, the NES Classic sold gangbusters for you. You had no leftover inventory of that.
Because they never
We think this will happen the same way again.
The only thing that might make sense to me is if they need to stop production for now to ramp up their Switch production, because, you know, that may also be high right now, and that's the market they want to be in, a new video game system as opposed to a retro classic that's not really going to make as much money for them other than the initial purchase. And then once the Switch, they can supply enough of those to meet demand, then they can go back and, you know, put out some more classics or do an SNES or something like that.
Well, you know, wouldn't it be great if we had a video game podcast to discuss topics like this on, on a regular basis?
Hey,
that would be great.
We get to run that.
Yeah. Hey, John, that would be, if you do this.
I don't understand. Why are you talking to me?
Sorry. It's just, I hate it when obvious things are stupid to other people, because it just seems like it's just like, what? Oh, we have enough money. Oh. No, thank you.
Hey, so what else anybody get? Anybody else get anything cool?
Well, I got some stuff. So,
what'd you get?
I got my Takara Legends Astro Train in today. Very, very nice. Love the color, the darker colors.
He is nice, isn't he?
Yeah. And I got my Unite Warrior set in. I got Megatronia.
Oh, nice. So jealous.
Huh. Yeah. I have some thoughts on this one. for Mega Empress, that does not look like a Decepticon face to me. It's my camera is not picking it up well. It's just the features are way too soft to like be threatening.
She's female. On some level, she's threatening to many of us. Inherently.
Says the married man.
You know what he's talking about?
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the colors are on the rest of them are not quite as vibrant as initial photographs appeared. Mostly, and I'm not 100% on the names on here, but I think Moonheart is not very fluorescent and is indeed more of a salmon color, which is just
best worst name.
Yeah.
That's
so.
That's a Care Bears name.
Basically,
yeah.
That sure is an Alpha Bravo.
Yes, a salmon colored one.
Oh, that's the best.
The rest of them look better. There's Luna Club, I believe. I'm these names are as best as I can remember, and like the faces on all these look way better. Trick Diamond. Trick Diamond has the problem where it's all molded in black and they painted the yellow over top of it. Oh. And we all know how well that goes. It looked pretty good on most of the figure, but on the back of the legs, you can see the bleed through.
Now I want to say one thing. The other problem with Trick Diamond is her face.
Like, well,
I hate to tell you, but the mold,
face.
No, you know, a rose by any other. Yeah, so a rose is.
Well,
a rose,
it looks like Scooter, except for the wrong color.
A funky face is a funky face, no matter how you paint it.
But Flo Spade wins because she's purple. She has the Nightbird face, and it, you know, always was my favorite mold out of the set anyway. So
yeah,
and the paint coverage on this one is much better. So the only one with the real noticeable paint problems is the yellow one. But I think the set looks way better in, you know, these colors than it did in the original.
Oh, definitely.
Victorian color scheme.
How are the molds holding up?
Uh, really, really well, actually. I mean, especially on the helicopters. I mean, these legs are pretty stiff.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
No weakness when combining anything?
I actually haven't combined them yet. I got it in the mail today after work.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And I've gotten them out and just went through all the transformations and everything. And might I say, the sword looks so much in colors. It is really, really pretty. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Does Mega Empress have the problem with
the knees are correctly assembled.
Okay.
All right.
And I also picked up an extra skull cruncher just to give Megatron a transdector.
Oh, nice.
And that's what I got this week.
Cool. Nice. Anybody else?
Yeah, I got a couple of minor things. I got a couple of the 5-inch figures from the Power Rangers movie line at Walgreens for $2.49 each. They are already on clearance with the movie 2 months out.
Sounds like Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
One month out.
Okay, and the figures are about as good. I mean, about as good as anything you ever get from Bandai.
About as good as the movie's going to be.
That's about what I'm anticipating, yes. I mean, the best thing I can say is that the Black Ranger had a little, like, effects piece for, like, a flaming punch, and I may get some usage out of that somewhere.
Actually, looking at the toys, I was like, the movie has to be better than this, because the toys look like garbage.
The movie probably has more paint when seen from the back. I'll put it that way. And the other thing I got was Dragon Ball Fusions for the 3DS, which is an excellent little game. I recommend it highly if you like little RPGs with very billiards-like combat systems.
I've seen a little bit of that be played. It's actually kind of entertaining looking.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, you know, they got the license to do a Dragon Ball game. Well, what do we have available? We have a Pokemon game, and we have this fighting engine with physics from our billiard simulator. Okay, throw it all in a blender.
And yes, that's like $23 on Amazon Prime right now. So that's all Amazon.
Slash Amazon, yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else?
The only thing I got was off topic. I picked up a couple of Miraculous Ladybug figures from the new wave of figures out from Miraculous Ladybug, and everything else I've got is in transit. So hopefully I'll have something hopefully by next week.
Okay, cool.
Should I ask what the Miraculous Ladybug is? Because
I'm kind of curious myself.
It's a French anime. Made in South Korea. Well, it's a South Korean anime set in France.
Okay, so this week in history, 1987, the Fight Super Robot Lifeform Transformers 2010 episode Surprise Party airs in Japan. That's everybody's favorite season 3 episode.
Yeah, no.
But what will we do if we don't know what Ultra Magnus' birthday is?
Is that the plot in the Japanese version, do you think? Or they change it?
I can't imagine it's that much different if they apparently kept the title.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I was thinking that was just the anglicized or the original name. They just kept it.
No, I mean, the wiki is usually pretty good about representing the correct regional name. I mean, even for the Malaysian dub airings, when those were different.
Yeah. Let's see. 2009, the full teaser trailer for Revenge of the Fallen makes its television debut in a special segment on Entertainment Tonight.
What a great movie.
So I had a lot of people, I think I mentioned this last week, a lot of people contact me. It's like, hey, Revenge of the Fallen's not that bad. And I'm like, I guess compared to the other movies, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty bad.
It's the worst one.
Compared to maybe a test pattern? No.
I'd rather watch a test pattern.
Test pattern.
Yeah. See, our fans are right.
Test patterns are more coherent.
And in 2012, Transformers Rescue Bots premieres on the Hub. With Family of Heroes and Under Pressure, which are the two last episodes that I watched, unfortunately.
Well, I have to say, really, I watched all the series. I was just having to watch it in bits and pieces, trying to find it online. It's really a nice. It's a nice little show. It's also one of the longest running.
Well made cartoon that is totally not for the audience segment I'm part of.
Yeah. Also, just quick, not to derail us again, but some folks in the chat, and I just got a tweet from Carrie Gator saying that the NES thing is a rumor, and it was disproven. Nintendo said it's not true. So yay. Okay.
Yay.
Hooray! So diecast, I might get one
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
Also the same day in 2012, the second season of Transformers Prime premiered.
Might have been the next to last episode of Transformers Prime that I watched. I didn't finish season two.
Season two was kind of a rough patch for Transformers Prime.
It was
kind
yeah.
of, season two is really hard to watch.
Season three is really good.
I've heard it that.
Is. Season three is great.
But it's so season two is so bad that I just can't bring myself to do it.
Season two had a couple of good episodes, and the surprising thing is one of them was a Miko focus episode.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, official news. Toy Fair 2017. There might have been some sort of accidental reveal this past week. I don't remember what it was. Something about a dinosaur. So Trypticon.
I thought you were going to say new dinosaur.
He's a space dinosaur.
Big purple dinosaur.
Trypticon was accidentally leaked on Instagram by Hasbro. So it's kind of funny.
Whoops.
I think he looks great. We actually did a whole RFC minicast where we talked about this, and I think it looks great. Diecast, not so much. He doesn't think it looks that awesome. I think it looks pretty phenomenal.
No, I like it. I said if there were things about it I would change, I would make the tail a little bit longer and the upper body a little bit wider. But other than that, I mean, I like it.
It's nice. But Chris went and did his usual magic of trying to figure out just how big this thing is through a series of comparative analyses. And it looks like this guy's about 19 inches tall.
Probably something like that, yeah.
I heard it was 24 inches.
I saw people sharing your picture on Facebook this week, and they're like, look at this. This is BS. And I'm like, okay, what are you basing that being BS on? Well, it's going to be as tall as Metroplex in Fort Max, okay? It's like, and besides, this isn't news. This is somebody making something up. I'm like, well, he's not saying it's news. It's analysis. And his track record is really good with this, so I don't understand what your problem is.
Also, what's the basis for saying it's going to be exactly the same as Metroplex and Fortress Maximus?
One person said
that's the reason they were the same is because they share parts.
One person said their source in Hasbro, which made me laugh, said that it was going to be the same size. I love how all these people have sources in Hasbro.
Yeah. If you see someone else's work, guys, make sure you also credit it.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least, just don't be a douchebag.
Hey, and this weekend,
there's none of those out there.
And this weekend, when we start posting our pictures and everything for Toy Fair, share it. But retweet or click the share button. Don't just save them and reshare them, because that's bad and wrong.
Source properly. It's important.
Yes.
It's the law in the U.S.
It takes very little effort, and it makes you a better person inside.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm less likely to come find you and break your knees.
Yes.
Less likely. Yeah. I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah. But because, you know, Diecast is taking a lot of time out to go up there for us.
Yes.
You know, Chris is going to be doing a lot of analysis. And Chris and Rob will be doing a lot of toy detective analysis on this stuff. And their hard work should be appreciated and
rewarded.
So basically how Chris did this is he took the leg that was shown at New York Comic Con last year.
During that Twitch live stream that went terribly otherwise.
Yeah, Six Shot is beside of that leg. So we know exactly how tall Six Shot is. So
I measured it.
Yes, he measured it. So he compared the photo of Six Shot to the leg, and he compared the leg to the photo of Trypticon, and math happened, and 19 inches.
That's when my head starts to hurt, when math happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not math so much. It's just like you take the reference points on the leg of the prototype that was on the table and in the promo render that leaked, and you basically just scale them until they match correctly. And from that, you can get a rough idea of the general height.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be exactly 19 inches, but I'm very confident it's going to be right in the neighborhood of that.
So this
there's room for error. I mean,
always.
Yeah, so this looks great. It is very faithful to G1 Trypticon. I'm A-okay with that.
For my money, they showed us the most boring part of this Trypticon, because it's the part that looks exactly like the Trypticon that already exists. give or take some detail.
Yeah, I'm interested.
What I'm really interested in is the reveal of like the base and city modes.
Did you get a feel for how big Full Tilt's going to be?
I mean, if Trypticon is 19 inches, I could easily see that being deluxe. Like a largish deluxe, like Cerebros.
Good. Okay. Man, I think it looks great. I can't wait to see it. I guess it's not going to walk, unfortunately.
No, I think the little side spikes on there are just for show. Vestigial. Yeah, they're just visual styling.
Yeah, but it looks awesome.
They probably also have a function in how it opens up for the base mode, because I remember those being present on the prototype piece too, and when we saw how that would fold open and flare out substantially.
Yeah. So this is a given. We're going to see this weekend. Diecast, get some good photos. We definitely want to see those.
Yeah.
Video too, if you know, there's something worth videoing there.
Yes.
I'm hoping there's going to be time for video, because there's going to be less people there this year. So I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other speculation, any other rumor, anything? I guess we can talk about the Wave 5 rumor. Let me just jump to that. And okay. We'll come back.
Okay.
Pardon me. Where is it at? I've already missed. Oh yeah, Titans Return Wave 5 rumors. Sorry, I clicked ahead. I went to the Wave 4. Chris wrote this article. Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay. So we got basically a solicitation list from a Canadian retailer who has a good track record with breaking toy assortment information for like other Hasbro lines, like the Marvel and Star Wars stuff. This is the first time they had a chance to actually break some news on Transformers, and so we have a rumor of what the Wave 5 case assortment is going to be. The characters are going to be Twin Twist, Misfire, Windblade, interestingly enough, and apparently just a straight reship of Wolfwire. So the solicitation document evidently says what molds Twin Twist, Misfire, and Windblade are going to be run off of. So Twin Twist is going to be a retool of Topspin. Misfire is going to be a Trigger Happy retool, interestingly enough, which it was a little bit surprising since we all assumed that would be the Topspin retool because they are visually similar, but it kind of makes sense when I started getting down into it. Windblade's the real head scratcher, though, because apparently that's going to be a retool of Highbrow.
I don't think we need that.
Okay.
I would like to see if they make any improvements to the Highbrow mode, because from Wave 2 he was the weakest one of Wave 2.
Yeah, I'm okay with Highbrow, but I don't need any more toys based off of that.
Yeah.
In any case, though, since you know, just reciting the rumor that was presented at the time wasn't really like a substantial thing on its own, I kind of dug into it and broke it down and started figuring out, okay, how would I expect to see these be modified, these original molds be modified to suit these new toys? So there's an article at T-Formers that goes into quite a bit of detail for each one of these, what changes I would reasonably expect to see on them. And also a little bit of talk of why they might have reshipped Wolfwire as part of this wave instead of giving us a new recolor or some other retool or something instead.
Okay. So there's also this news item about the box set for Speed and Strength that you posted. So I heard about this. So a leader class quick switch as a repaint from Six Shot.
Yeah. Like,
that would be phenomenal. This is the Speed set. So potentially quick switch, Voyager Optimus, Fastlane, and Nautica, and a Titan Master called Thunderclap.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is the same source.
This is said to come from Canadian Toys R Us computer system, which is, you know, a source we've used in the past to find out first about, I think Computron, the Combiner Wars Computron set was confirmed via a Toys R Us Canada computer leak like this. Last I checked, there were not any like screen images of this for like real corroboration, but the Speed and Strength box sets were something that was on the otherwise like completely reliable Titans Return rumor list from several months ago. So very good odds that this information is correct.
So the Strength set would be Leader Class Magnus Prime, a potential retool, a recolor of Power Master Optimus Prime, Voyager Tidal Wave.
From Broadside, of course.
Yeah. Deluxe Pounce and Iron Apex, but no Wingspan. and Titan Master that was not named at the time. So who knows?
I think the suspicion at the time the rumors were first circulating was that these box sets had Pounce and Fastlane, and Cloudraker and Wingspan would end up in a retail assortment normally.
So do we expect to see this at Toy Fair if this is legit? Or this because it, this is an ex-
it's very possible. You know, if these box sets are, you know, the equivalent to the Combiner Wars box sets last year, they would probably want to start promoting them as well as they can first chance.
When you're saying the Combiner Wars, are you talking about like the, you're not? No, I'm thinking of the Platinum, like the Platinum movie box set that we saw that at Toy Fair, didn't we?
BotCon, I think.
Was it BotCon? Okay.
But we don't have a BotCon this year, so they might move the timetable up.
Who knows? But that's
so no. Iron Apex is?
The supposition based on the name is some form of Apex armor, which being a deluxe price point thing like this would be very distinctive from God Bomber that Takara is doing, and maybe why the box that it comes with has a retool of Power Master Optimus, so that even if you didn't buy that separate toy, you have something compatible for its power-up mode to go on to. But no, these would be equivalent to the Combiner Wars box sets from last year, based on the price point. They're listed at 150 Canadian in the Toys R Us computer system, and that's what the Combiner Wars box sets were also priced at Toys R Us Canada.
Okay, cool. Okay, let's see here. Moving along, we have trying to respond to something in my little Botlanta community that we have going on, talking about some stuff. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers Figure Subscription Service 5. Shipments delayed. Chinese New Year strikes again. So, Matt's getting that. John's getting that. Does that impact anybody else?
Yeah.
Anybody? I'm not getting it.
Well, we may be getting it eventually.
Yeah, yes, I remember when the plan for this was that they would have these, you know, rush shipped out before the end of 2016.
Didn't happen.
I was there at BotCon when they said the December ship date was absolute. So we are currently into it's like the 75th day of December today or something.
Well, no, Rob, the thing is only Sith steal in absolutes.
Mm. Hey, well, this gives us another, you know, celebration, because once these figures ship, you know, the next day we can celebrate the new year.
True. Ah,
you're
true.
Right.
Very true.
The fun pub new year, yes.
Yes.
The fun pub new year. Yes. So I think this is kind of exciting. There's rumor, or is this more than rumor? Red Scourge from Titans Return Voyager Optimus Prime. That could be pretty cool.
Yeah. The
have Octane.
We'll get Octane too.
Yeah, we'll probably get Octane. This is a Takara Tomy thing. It's scheduled to release for Tokyo Toy Show in June. So far, we've just gotten one like pre-order notice about this from a retailer in Malaysia. So I have a feeling we'll probably get our first look at this, if this is true, at Wonder Festival this weekend.
And Takara will still do an Octane, you know, just like they did the last LGEX Black Convoy from the deluxe mold. This is just their way to use the Optimus Prime tooling that's available to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll see Octane and Blitzwing at Toy Fair.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, Hasbro and Takara both will still do those uses of that mold.
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't rule out the Takara Octane, basically.
Yeah, definitely. Robots in Disguise, Combiner Force, app updates, reveal names of mystery combiners, plus new characters. What do we have? What's the name?
Okay, the Bumblebee Combiner is Ultra B. Menasor is Menasor. And also we have confirmed a third large combiner who is Galvatronus, another reuse from Combiner Wars.
Nice. But the most important character is Shocknado.
Yes.
Shock. Not shark. Shocknado.
I was just say, I read that really quick and I thought it said Sharknado, and I'm like, seriously.
God, I wish it was Sharknado.
I hope he turns into a shark.
Yeah.
That would be great. And we've also confirmed that Drag Break is a combination of is a Crash Combiner, a two-part character, so it is probably Drag Strip and Breakdown together.
Or Breakaway, which was another one of the names that was floating around, I think.
Oh, right.
There was some new variation on Breakdown and Wild Rider. Like, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, they we thought they were trying to fuse the two concepts together to get around trademark problems.
Right. Yeah, I was getting confused.
Isn't Breakaway their new getaway name?
Yes. So yeah. It's Break something. But we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
So wait for
Wild Titan. Break. That was it. It Wild was Break. Wild Break because it's a big nonsense name.
Yes.
So wait for
Drag Break's not much better.
No.
So wait for Titan Masters figures Shuffler and Repugnus found at Arizona Walmart. That means soon I will not be able to buy them at my local Walmart. Have to get the manager to sell them to me.
Meanwhile, I had the same problem at my Walmart, and the nice lady just walked up to the self-checkout and had put the prices in for me.
That's awesome. You have a great Walmart. I don't.
I have several Walmarts, which is nice, but that's a pretty good one.
I have one. Sadness. But yeah, so if you are looking for those, Walmart. Titans Return, Megatron, and Optimus Prime Wave 3 Voyagers found at U.S. retail, which is awesome.
About damn time.
It was Walgreens, right?
No, Walmart.
Was it Walmart? I thought they were also found at Walgreens. Oh, yeah. No,
Walgreens doesn't carry that size.
Class. That's right.
Oh, they do sometimes.
Well, the deluxes have definitely been found at Walmart. Yeah. So that's great. Maybe I'll be able. This was the one in Virginia? Is that what I remember?
There was a Virginia, an Oklahoma, and an Arizona that I'm aware of.
God, that'd be great to actually find these.
Well, Brian,
probably because you'll just find Astro Train and Alpha Trion. What, Don?
If I see any extra, Brian, I'll let you know. Awesome. I've been checking, and no luck on my end either.
Let's see here. What else we got going on? Transformers Generation 1 Unicron Table Lamp from Soldier Story Toys.
I want this. I really, really want this for some reason.
How much is it going to be? Does anyone know?
There's not been a price listed yet.
Probably expensive, though.
It's a lamp.
It's a statue that's being called a lamp because probably they can charge a little more.
It's a statue with LEDs in it, basically.
It's a great reward. Fragile. Okay, so it looks nice.
Yeah.
I want this.
I do too, but I'm scared that the price is going to be prohibitive.
I'll just get one off Taobao. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll come in a baggie.
It'll be missing a wheel.
It's a good trick. It doesn't have any wheels.
When I was envisioning this, I was seeing like a lampshade and like an actual functional lamp. This is more like...
No, it's a glowing statue.
Yeah, this is like a fiber optic Jesus, basically.
But I'll be honest, I love that color scheme on Unicron. It just seems to really work with that character.
Look, it even has a little hot rod.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I wonder if all the nodes on the wings actually light up like it looks.
It looks great.
Yeah, light my darkest living room.
Well, it looks like you kind of need that, Don.
Yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
Let's see here. The movie toy news premiere edition Grimlock, first out of package photos. That sure looks like Grimlock.
That sure is bland.
Yeah.
I like that Grimlock. Not.
Of course you do. I just like Revenge of the Fallen, too.
I like the colors on it. That's all.
What colors?
I like that it actually looks more movie oriented.
No, Melvar, that's die cast. That's a gunmetal gray, not silver. No.
It's got silver and gray.
Silver is a metallic finish on an absence of color.
Yeah,
but no, actually, the finish does look very nice.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's the same toy that we already had.
I don't have it either.
Except in movie accurate colors, yeah, and
not really because in the movie he's more greenish.
That's true.
Like really mute greenish.
He's closer to movie than anything we've got so far.
Right, yeah. But I still maintain the movie is what made the mistake, and the movie Dinobots should have been colorful like the toys were. So you can actually tell them apart and see them when they're walking around.
You know, I'm not going to argue that.
We also have photos of the Last Night Premiere Edition Deluxe Slash, who is just a straight up repaint and looks really boring.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember that figure.
You probably didn't find it.
Yeah, it used to be like a much brighter shade of blue with like
bananas.
Fluorescent orange or fluorescent yellow highlights.
Yeah.
And bananas.
Yes.
Yeah.
The bananas are now silver.
Mm-hmm.
As you do.
That's.
You best cook those or eat them or something before they go bad at that point.
Yeah. That makes a terrible banana pudding. That's just a.
It would.
That's just a terrible color. boring, bland, and blah.
With that color, this might actually be plantains this time.
It could be. Hey, why don't you check out Amazon? Go to tfradio.net/Amazon. Do all your Amazon shopping through our website. Doesn't cost you a cent more. Amazon helps us pay for the rent and all the expenses. Right now, Titans Return Soundwave is just $39, $39.99. If you can't find it, I mean, that's less than you're going to pay at retail. And it's also
about $5
with free Prime shipping. And I can't find it in retail, so I really need to jump on that.
Yeah, I've seen one in the wild since Christmas, and that's it. And it lasted like a day.
Yeah, so tfradio.net. Actually, I think we have a short URL for that, which is tfradio.net/soundwave. And just go pick it up. There's all sorts of other stuff out there as well. You can get your toilet paper. I, in the last couple of days, had a bag of dog food, bag of cat food, bag of cat litter, my coffee, all of it delivered. And it was awesome. I didn't have to go out shopping. It was just delivered to my house for the same price or less as going to my major retailer that sells that stuff.
Depending how far you have to drive to your major retailer that sells that stuff, it could be quite a bit less when you figure in the gas you didn't use.
Yep. It was pretty awesome.
Was it delivered by drone?
Delivered by UPS and my local mail carrier.
So half and half on that drone thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. And again, you know, Amazon's awesome. They don't charge you anymore for using our link. But they send us a little thank you by, you know, just sending a few cents our way. Again, you can go to tfradio.net/Amazon or go to tfradio.net and click on that Amazon link on the homepage. And, that'd be awesome. Okay. Third party news. Not a lot in third party news this week. But we have Fans Hobby Feilong unofficial MP scale double cross test shot image and changes and design changes. So this looks different than the we saw a render before, right?
I believe so, yes.
It does look slightly off. I liked it better before.
So there is one test shot photo in here. I think it's the first photo in the album.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the physical thing. The other images are the renders showing where the new parts will go and the changes they will affect, which is mostly just covering up some gaps in the dragon mode and also extending the wingspan some. So it's fairly minimal changes. It's largely just cosmetic kind of stuff.
It may just be the fact that I like the look of the render better.
That's entirely possible. This is a little chunky looking.
Yeah.
I assume the robot proportions are in service of the dragon mode, though.
Has to be.
I do like the extra parts that they added. I mean, I do think that, you know, looking at the before and the after. Yeah, it definitely makes it a much better two-headed dragon mode.
Yeah, the new wing segments definitely help. That was actually kind of clever.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have photos of Planet X Apocalypse, unofficial, unnecessary video game style Trypticon. That sure is a Fall of Cybertron Trypticon.
Yep. See, I liked that Trypticon design in the video game. I don't think I need a toy of it.
And this is parts A and B, right?
Yeah, this is the whole thing together. I do got to say, this looks a lot better than the last time we saw it, mostly because it's against a white background as opposed to a black background this time, and you can actually see what it's comprised of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they did a good job with what they were going
for. It doesn't look bad. It's just it's unnecessary.
I don't like totally it.
I will not disagree with that. It is totally unnecessary.
I mean, like, we're going to have a G1 Trypticon coming out very soon for like $150.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I prefer that design way more, and it's not in two parts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, but our Toy Fair podcast might be in two parts because it's going to be so long. just
yeah, so, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. So don't call me a hypocrite for that. So just that's because of the file size. Okay. Actually, I dug out. I was going to share it for Throwback Thursday. I dug out our first Toy Fair live stream. Oh, and I was listening to a little bit of it today. It sounds way different.
How bad was it?
Wasn't bad. It was fine. It was just different. It was way less structured.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were back then.
Yeah. So it was different.
A lot of different people.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of different people. Okay. So
some very different people.
Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, this week I have written an article about four ways that the rumored Transformers The Last Knight Premier Edition price increase could actually be good for us. Because just wow. This is, yeah, it was just something that hit me in the middle of the night. I was not sleeping well at the time. And just, you know, there could be a few small advantages to a price increase and to Hasbro bringing things in line with the rest of their adult collector figures. Because those, for one thing, and that's one of the things I go into in the article, get a lot more space at most retailers than Transformers Generations currently does.
Way to paint a silver lining around that dark cloud, Rob.
I know. Like I said, just, you know, random thoughts in the middle of the night. So now everyone else has to suffer.
Take an extra $5 into my wallet at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, if you consider the markup that I pay on a lot of stuff to get it from the internet or Walgreens, it's not that bad.
I don't buy these from Walgreens. They're too expensive.
Yeah.
Not if I can help it, no.
I have. And, you know, I got Wave 2.
If I'm right and this means wider distribution, the good news is Walgreens often puts Black Series and Marvel Legends on sale for $15, which they don't frequently do with Transformers at this point. And also, if it's like those lines, you'll be able to get them on clearance at like Suncoast and GameStop for, you know, $8 to $10 in a little while.
Another good point you made about the Walgreens connection there is that they carry a lot more Black Series and Marvel Legends than they do Transformers.
Yep.
Exactly. These,
like on the shelf at one time.
Yeah, exactly. There's the... I see Marvel Legends and Black Series a lot more places, and I see more of them when I see them, and that is something that I think would definitely be to our advantage.
I see more.
Like I'll summarize this way: I don't agree with anything that tries to justify us paying more for the same toys that we've been paying. You know what we've been paying for years, but you make a lot of logical points in this article.
I see more. I see more Mattel DC crap than Transformers. I see more of the elite WWE figures than Transformers, it feels like, sometimes. So this makes sense. I like that. What else, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd rather not see the price change either. Just to clarify, I hate price increases. But I'm hoping that there's actually a point to it if we do see one, and it's not just another case of the price creep we've been dealing with for like the last 5-6 years. Also, we have got XV's article on the best of Transformers toy commercials, which of course is about G2.
Awesome.
And Jack wrote an article about some Australian Transformers ice cream from the 80s, which I never saw those. Well, of course, Australian, so I wouldn't, but kind of neat.
It's interesting because apparently they had like specific flavors to represent particular characters.
Yes.
And go ahead.
And some of these were apparently like two different flavors of ice pop, and some were ice pop with an ice cream center.
Neat. Okay. Let's see here. So we had a listener question that I completely forgot last week and probably the week before. I told him I would do this. So it's an interesting question. Hadn't thought about it. So from Rodimus Supreme. So here's a question. Am I the only one that notices a similarity in the design between Titans Return Sky Shadow and Energon Megatron? I don't remember anyone else mentioning this. I can totally see that.
Oh yeah, I agree. I didn't
watch or collect Energon, so I have no idea.
Well, basically, Energon Megatron looks kind of like a G1 Galvatron, except with two shoulder cannons and using his Armada body as a cannon on his arm. So,
yeah, it's the wings, it's the head. I think it's mostly the head and the wings.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, and also having the jet and tank component.
True, yeah. True. I mean. Sky, I don't think it's intentional.
No, probably not.
I think it may be subliminal.
There are definite commonalities in what both of them are doing, where it's really easy to draw that comparison. You don't have to reach very far to see the similarities between what each of them are doing.
And so realistically, there's a limited vocabulary when it comes to design elements for Transformers. Things are going to occasionally look similar because of it.
Yeah, that's why Energon Starscream was a remold of G2 Smokescreen.
Now, you could look at it this way. Instead of Sky Shadow looking like Energon Megatron, could Energon Megatron have originally been designed with Overlord components in mind, since this Sky Shadow is based off the new Overlord tooling?
Given the time it was developed, I would say no.
And
because it just, like, tapping into that stuff just wasn't really a thing the same way it is now.
And Starscream wasn't.
No, it wasn't. That's just a very old joke that, as usual, I won't let go.
I just want to make sure that people don't think that you actually believe that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, and let's see, on the network this week, we have Take 4 Wrestling, episode 26, Chi-Town Rumble 89, and why Hulk Hogan could have been president of the world.
Probably couldn't be any worse off than we are now.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, A Taste of Armageddon. Certainly is an episode of that one episode of Star Trek.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And so I found an article this week that was the 100 best episodes of Star Trek as voted by somebody. And I think it was Kotaku or IO9. They're the same company now. I don't think it matters. But reading it, one thing that it really left me the impression of is the best Star Trek series, at least when it comes to density of quality of good episodes. It's the original series. The original series.
Deep Space Nine
is my favorite series. But when it comes to like just the density of good episodes compared to total number, it's the original series.
Because it had the fewest number of total episodes.
And some brilliant episodes, exactly right. But DS9, the best series. It's my favorite series. But yeah, so just kind of interesting. There's a lot of episodes that I don't even remember from reading that list that I need to go back and check on.
But next week we are going to be recording that one episode of Star Trek about the final two episodes of Star Trek the Animated Series, which means we will have podcasts about every episode of Star Trek the Animated Series.
That's brilliant. Nice. Real quick, just because I'm thinking about it, the two top episodes of The Next Generation, any guess as to what they were?
Best of both worlds.
Nope.
Used to be like in the late 90s.
Inner Light and Darmok.
Exactly. Inner Light and Darmok.
Yes.
I would put Chain of Command maybe in place of Inner Light, but
Chain of Command is one of the stronger overall two-parters.
Yeah.
In Next Generation, because a lot of them, well, it had the benefit of not being broken up across a season break, which killed the momentum for most of the two-parters, but like it was a really strong two-parter for both of its parts and told two fairly different stories. Oh, yes.
I love both. I love both for obviously different reasons because they're two different episodes, but I love that. Okay. And let's see. Also on the network this week, we have RSC Minicast, Trypticon Revealed. Diecast Don, John, and I talked about Trypticon at length. That was definitely worth a listen. And Being Awesome, episode 91. God, we're getting close to 100 episodes of Being Awesome. Pacific Rim 2, and even more awesome. So Rob Springer's favorite movie is Pacific Rim, so he is excited about Pacific Rim 2, and I am too. I love Pacific Rim.
And it's a wonderful bad movie.
It's a wonderful bad movie. So it's one of those movies that I watched it, and I did not find a single fault in my original viewing because I was able to shut my brain off. And not critique every little thing I came across. And that
and
was
you
a wonderful.
Can't do that with Revenge of the Fallen? You can't just shut your brain off?
No. And it was a wonderful experience.
Okay. Pacific Rim had every cliche in the book, but they were all done well.
Yes.
Yeah. And like I think Rob was trying to say, Revenge of the Fallen had no heart.
Yeah.
Yes. None at all.
Maybe I can just turn my brain off easier.
Whoever made Pacific
Rim. Well, I mean, when Guillermo
del Toro was making Pacific Rim, he had fun. It was.
Yes.
Yeah. And
it's apparent when you watch the movie.
Most people can turn their brains off when watching stuff. I can't.
Me either.
No. I cannot.
Go ahead, Don.
Sorry. And when it comes to Revenge of the Fallen, I wouldn't call going into a coma turning your brain off. There's a slight difference.
It's like a waking coma. Like your brain is shut off, but your eyes are open and you're semi-conscious.
I didn't go comatose until Age of Extinction, though. Revenge of the Fugue was close.
Revenge of the Fugue. Hey, if you want to find any of the show notes from this episode, go to tfradio.net/506. You can get all of the links and everything we talk about in there. It's pretty awesome. You can leave us a voicemail at 931-994-6268. Again, it's 931-994-6268. That's 931-99-GO-BOT. Leave us a text. Leave us a voicemail. You can do either one. Of course, you can find...
Yeah, our listener question this week came from a text message from someone who had really no other way to contact us.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who it was. He was like, I don't have a social media platform. I'm like, this is a local number. Who's texting me? So... I'm like, who are you? So I was trying to think if it was somebody that I know or not. I don't know the screen name, so I guess I don't know you. You just live near me. So find us on Twitter at TF Radio. I'm doing way more tweeting these days from TF Radio. You can find us on Instagram at TF Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Keep your eyes peeled there this weekend, though, of course, because Toy Fair, and that's where all the photos are. They're going to be across all three platforms, but go to the one that you prefer, either Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, and just sit back and watch because it's going to be awesome. And I'm personally on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Chris is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. He's also at TFormer TV and at TFormers.com. Anything else? No. No. Okay, Matt, how do people get a hold of you?
At Melvar on Twitter.
MELLLVARR. This is a great Twitter handle. I'm glad you finally broke down and did that. You're a smart man.
He didn't. You did it.
You're glad you finally broke down and did that for me.
Did you delete the fake tweets that I did, or did you leave them?
No, I left them all.
Okay, okay. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Diecast?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2 or on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and then also on YouTube at RFC Reviews. Just as a quick note, the Sold Chogokin Voltron just posted. So when you're done listening to this show, you can go over to YouTube and check that out. He's awesome.
I can't wait to see that. You can also find us on Roku at tfradio.net/Roku to add it to your channel. I just checked your Twitter, Matt. For somebody who didn't want to be on there, you've already tweeted 3,000 times since that account was created. That's awesome.
Most of them are very, very angry retweets.
Likes count
since November.
I've had Twitter since 2008, and I've only tweeted 13,000 times.
Okay, so I registered my Twitter account in summer of 2009, and I just passed 100,000 tweets.
Yeah.
Same, but 79,000 tweets.
I have no idea how many I have.
I'll tell you in a second. I joined May of 2008. I have 13,900 tweets. Diecast joined November 2010. You have 4,500. Matt nearly has as many as you after 7 years. But you have more followers.
I'm angry. What can I say?
You're coming close to 1,000.
Yay.
I'm sitting around 600 followers, I think. I'm okay with that.
I don't know how many I have, right? I can check.
I have a number of followers.
I'm probably going to lose a lot of my followers when I go back to tweeting about toys.
John, just because I'm curious, John joined September of 2009, and he's tweeted 7,800 times.
No, Matt, you won't lose a lot of followers because one thing I've noticed in my time is that people are very quick to hit the follow button but are not very good about curating their Twitter follows. So they will just stick with it regardless for the most part.
Hey, I'm at 1,464, so help get me to 1,500 at BKilby.
He'll give away a prize when he does.
I could. I'm not saying I am, but I could. I could
what's
do that.
What's the TF Radio Twitter at?
At TF Radio.
Yeah, I know.
3238.
Yeah. With 11,310 tweets.
Yeah.
But the prize is Brian will buy you a GoDaddy domain name.
Yeah, I mean,
some people are probably up for that.
Coupon codes. I can get that for like $2. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay. Let's see. Anybody else? John?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter still, like you just said.
Oh, yeah. John. that John.
Hey, by the way, here's a bonus take that is off format. Repugnus has the worst paint job I have ever seen on a Titan Master to date.
Wow. Ugh.
Dropping that ball. Oh, the Titan Master, the head, that part of Repugnus is terra bad in every way.
Maybe you just got a bad one.
I did get that. I can confirm that.
So you're saying he's Terry Bull?
There is already a Terry Bull.
That's an ender.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live.
Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?